Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is fantastic to welcome back to Sydney, Finn Andrews. How's things?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you, and nice to see you solo. It's weird in a way that it's taken you so long to release a solo album, I reckon, because you've always, during the veil, sort of posted solo sketches and things like that online. When I think about the time, it's amazing it's taken so long, Finn.
Sure. I was kind of resistant to the idea for a while, I think. But the songs, as always, have sort of led the way, and it made sense to do it now.
Because some of those releases, like that Troubles of the Brain EP in 2011, seemed like almost a Veils EP only in name. Like, quite often you would flesh out a lot of the Veils stuff yourself before the songs went to the band, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's never been a sort of band in that kind of traditional sense. I guess it's always been a bit of a mixture of things. I think because I started so young as well, sort of like 16, and just sort of gave it a name. It's been a pretty chaotic, not entirely thought through sort of thing. We just go from one thing to the next. Again, just really the songs sort of always seem to have led the way with it, and now it just felt like time to go to a different part of town, as it were.
And Finn, in tried and true musical heartbreak tradition, it was the end of a relationship a few years ago that kind of spurred you on to do the solo record?
I think, well, yeah, that was going on as well. There are a lot of things happening. I think it's sort of certainly a bit of a breakup record with London as well, and coming to the end of my tether there. Yeah, I think those two things influenced it a lot. And there's certainly a lot of London sort of bleeding through into the songs, I think.
Is that what you do as a songwriter? Pour some heartache out and get some songs, Finn?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to hurt that side of things. I've been a lot happier since I put the record out, and I haven't written a bloody thing, so I guess...
Really? Wow.
It's a problem.
Is that what you do, though? You write songs instead of going out drinking and self-destroying yourself when things are going wrong?
Oh, no, certainly. A place for both things, I think. Yes.
Because it's an album that starts out as It Means to Go On. The opening song, Love, What Can I Do, is this immediate song of yearning for lost love. So it seemed to sort of set the tone for the record, a song like that.
Sure. Yeah, I was really pleased with that song. It felt like something I've been trying to write for a long time. It all just came out as one chord that my dad taught me a while back. And the whole song just sort of kind of came from that one chord, really.
Did it elicit a response from its subject? Have you heard back from the person? Does the person know that some of these songs on the solo album are written about them?
I mean, well, yeah, she heard me writing a lot of them, and yeah, she's very much aware. She's into it. She loves the record more than anyone.
These songs also feel too personal to share with other members of the Veils? Was it almost you needed to be wholly part of them, and that's why you made the solo record?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's such a loud band. The Veils are just everything about... It's just guitars. Guitars are a pain. Everything just becomes so much louder. I end up singing really differently as well, and like howling over the top of these guitars.
I'll remind you one day you said those words, guitars are a pain.
Yeah. It's quite amazing, I guess, because I've been tied to the guitar my whole life. It was quite nice to remove it and just see what you do without it, I guess. You know, the whole record was recorded live, and the piano was just sort of the center of the whole thing, and nothing could be louder than the piano. We didn't wear headphones or anything. It was all just sort of in the room. And that seemed to change the landscape so fundamentally.
Yeah, there's a real purity to a lot of the songs. As you say, the Veils can kind of pile on the noise and the distortion and embellishments.
Yeah.
So it must have been weird for you to hear a song breathe or hear yourself recorded like that.
Totally, man. I mean, I don't know. Records are spooky things. I don't know why... All of this came hand in hand, really, of sort of stripping everything away, I think, and starting again. And it's very much intertwined with what I was going through at the time. And that sort of starting again, stripping away what is left, I guess, sort of rather than... There was nothing that had to be on the record. There was no band. There was no instrument that, you know, had to be there. We just added what was felt right, and added very little when needed as well.
Do you think as you get older, both as a songwriter and as a person, you're worried less about artifice? I guess when you were writing early on, you were probably inhabiting characters and things like that for a lot of the time for the Veils. Do you feel a bit more comfortable putting yourself out there in song now, Finn?
I mean, no, I feel pretty uncomfortable in this most of the time in a good way. I feel like I'm constantly, like I'm way behind where I should be, and I just feel like I'm catching up and trying to learn. I felt like that since I was 12, and I feel exactly the same with it now. I don't really know what I'm doing. The whole thing is just completely off the cuff all the time. which makes sort of talking about songs sometimes difficult because I really don't know. It's just I write these things and then that leads to how they're treated and where I end up in the world, and it's sort of a little scary sometimes. I don't know what these next few years are going to be like for me at all because I haven't written anything. I guess whatever I write next will dictate where I am, everything. It's a strange process.
Things are going to be pretty bleak if you listen to the lyrics of a song like One by the Venom, which, you know, is a laundry list of ways to die.
Yeah, man, I had the most fun with that one of all of them, I think. It just became a sort of a little bit of an obsession writing this list. I was doing it when I was sort of, on the train. Just kept adding to it. I had like 30 verses initially. Had to cut a few out to sort of streamline
it. There's no musical deaths in there. There's no accidental gardening deaths or anything Spinal Tap in there, Finn.
Though we just filmed them all, and some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, for people who haven't seen it, the video came out yesterday. It's fantastic.
It's all right. It took ages. We had no money, but we had a bit of time, so we just decided to sort of film every one of these death scenes, each one lasting about a second and a half. So you have to sort of fit a lot of information in a very small time.
And Finn, over the years, The Veils has remained an exercise still in often confounding expectations, because for the last record, 2016's Total Depravity, you worked with LP from Run the Jewels. So is that still something that's going on in your mind, like trying to keep pushing the boat out with that band, or is it in fact mothballed for now?
Man, yeah, I don't know. I just haven't written anything. That's really it. As soon as I write something, if it's in that world, then that's where I'll go. And if it's in this one, then I'll stay here. And if it's somewhere new again, then I'll go there. At the moment, I'm really just looking to the end of this tour. We've got a couple of months over in Europe and America coming up, promoting the solo record. And then beyond that, I have no idea. Truly no idea.
It's kind of perverse that the band's been put on hold after perhaps one of the biggest exposures you ever had, appearing in the Twin Peaks reunion a year or two ago. That was great to see. I saw your name come up in the cast list first before they announced the bands. So I was thinking you might have been going to play a log or something. I'm glad that the actual
would be the band role I was born to play. Yeah.
What was that universe like to be part of, Finn?
That was just a really fantastic, singular, beautiful time. I mean, I think it came out of just a really hideous time for us, where we'd been working on the record for a few years. We were running out of money and the whole thing was just completely untethered and know where it was going. So it's just sort of when we met David Lynch and then had the invitation to go on there and his sort of words of encouragement with the record, that just was completely invaluable at the time. And just one of the best weekends. Our keyboard player just set out to, he's got a lot more, I'm a bit of a sort of jaded old bastard, but he was really sort of, you know, this is just, you're just so on the surface with it. And like, we just got to make this the best weekend of all time.
Because they kind of filmed the bands back to back, I heard.
Yeah, it was a cool little afternoon in there out in Pasadena somewhere. We were sort of looking for the venue. We didn't know where it was. And it was all, you know, huge amounts of secrecy around the whole thing and, you know, non-disclosure agreements and all this sort of stuff. It's all kind of quite full on. We were just sort of driving around Los Angeles trying to find this location. Of course, like everywhere in that city looks like a David Lynch sort of location. And especially if you're looking for it, then it looks everywhere. It looks especially like that. It was next to this like high school that, and they weren't even filming in the high school, but the high school just looked really, this is sort of a radioactive quality to him. Maybe it's just that everything around him just becomes Lynchian.
And what were those pearls of advice then, Finn? You said he gave you some words about the record. Was there anything you've taken away from something like that or encountering a guy like that?
Oh man, I was just, you know, it's just simple, the simple pleasure, I suppose, of someone that you've admired your whole life seeing something in what you do. And he said, like, he really loved that track. I guess it's a strange mixture between LP's sort of hip-hop. The rhythm is very hip-hop, but then I'm just hollering over the top of it.
Or well, he said a something. A Veil song called Axolotl feels like it belongs in a Twin Peaks show as well.
Yeah, with hindsight, obviously that was where it was going to end up. But I know.
But he wasn't too cryptic. It wasn't.
He said something like, you know, when you sing, Finn, it's like, it's like Jerry Lee Lewis. That's why you didn't really love the song. He's like, it's like Jerry Lee Lewis, but hip-hop. That was the line. It's like an exorcism.
There you go. There's your gravestone, Finn.
Yeah, man. Shit, yeah.
It was so great to see you in that. And also, it's great to have you here in solo mode tonight. You are playing at the Lansdowne.
Yeah.
People can get their skates on. This is the start of a long world tour.
Yeah, totally, man. It's a solo in name only. There's five of us here. We've got string players, and it's going to be a really raucous little night, I think.
We're going to have a listen to a song that actually came after the album, this Record Store Day track called My Lotus Flower and Me.
Oh, cool.
So you did get some writing over the line in the end. There were songs to spare.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, these ones were, it's nice. I don't know if these have been played on the radio yet, but this is sort of like a very London-y song.
Yeah, name checks, locations. Here it is. This is Finn Andrews on Static. Take care of yourself on the road, Finn.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
Been running most nights round Hoxton Square. Can't get the good stuff just anywhere.